You've tuned in to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steadfast. I'm Steadfast Steve Lawson, and this is Courageous Kent Steinbeck. And so we've got a great devotion for you. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to John 15 and verse 8. The title of this is Glorifying God, and John 15, verse 8. So this is hugely important. The Bible reads, John 15, 8, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Kent, one of the marks of a true believer is that there is fruit being produced in their life. There is an inseparable connection between the root and the fruit. Where there's a good root, there's good fruit that's produced. And if there's not good fruit produced, there's being bad fruit produced, and that comes from a bad root. And so there's a fundamental principle here, and it's Jesus stated it in Matthew 7 and verse 16. He says, "You will know them by their fruits." And so you can always tell what the root is by their fruits. And the root here referring to a real saving relationship with Jesus Christ. One more cross-reference before we get into this verse is in Matthew 7, 17. He says, "Every good tree bears good fruit." There's no exceptions to that. Every good tree bears good fruit. Then he says, "But the bad tree bears bad fruit." So with that as a backdrop, let's look now at this verse, verse 8. He says, "My Father is glorified by this." Well, I think in the heart of every true Christian, there is a desire for God to be glorified in and through their lives. And so he says, "My Father is glorified by this." So what is the this? Well, he tells us that you bear much fruit. Think about this, Kent. If you're the vine dresser and you've got a vine with branches growing out of it, it glorifies the vine dresser as he sees fruit being produced in the branches. We can picture a gardener, someone in their backyard, and they've planted something, and as flowers begin to grow or there's fruit from a fruit tree, that excites the gardener. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit." And not a small amount of fruit, but much fruit. Not minimal fruit, but much fruit. And the bearing of this fruit, he says, "and so prove to be my disciples." A disciple here is a true believer. It's all true believers in Jesus Christ. It's not some upper echelon, upper level Christian who reaches a certain point of commitment. No, you became a disciple the moment you entered through the narrow gate. Don't make the false dichotomy here between a believer and a disciple. No, they are synonymous terms. And he says, "You prove to be my disciple by bearing much fruit." So we need to ask the question, what is this fruit? Well, I think three things in particular. Number one is Christ-like character. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, etc. All of those are aspects of Christian character, Christ-likeness. And so we prove to be a Christian by Christ-like character being evidenced in our life. And that only comes by our abiding in Christ. And he says, you bear much fruit. I do want to make this point, Kent. We don't produce fruit. We bear fruit. Christ produces the fruit. We just abide in Christ. Christ produces it. We simply bear it. The second aspect of fruit is effective ministry. And in verse 16 of this same chapter, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain." And so he's talking about being appointed to serve the Lord, and there's fruit that comes from our life. And so as we serve the Lord in the various part of his vineyard where he's placed us, There's to be fruit of effective ministry that comes through our life. And then the third aspect is answered prayer. And that is what we looked at last time in the previous verse. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So we see this fruit produced in our life as we abide in Christ. This glorifies the Father. Jesus produces it. We bear it in our life. So, Kent, there's a lot packed into this one verse.
There's a lot. And I think maybe the first question would be that a lot of our viewers would be thinking about, and I think we know the Westminster Confession of Faith says man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What exactly, Steve, does it mean to glorify God?
What does that mean? Thank you for that question. Number one, it means that we praise Him and that we worship Him, that we enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His presence with praise. And so we glorify God by declaring His greatness to God Himself. That's number one. Number two, to glorify God, we do those things in our lives that reflect His character and that promote His greatness. I think of 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. That it, by the way that we even eat or drink, it should be a reflection of who God is living in our lives. And it causes other people to see what God is like as we live our life. And it that honors God, for Him to see His own character being produced in us. Now, He's the one who's producing it, but it honors Him, and it dishonors Him when we become more like the world and less like Him as we live our lives. So those are the two things that I think immediately come to mind.
So I guess all of this in context, this verse then, is saying that if you want to bear much fruit, which He wants us to do, then we have to be abiding in Him.
We have to be abiding in Him, and His Word has to be abiding in us. So that's why we have to be in the Word, so that His Word can be in us.
So if we look at our lives and say, you know, I don't feel like I'm... I feel like I'm on the bench. I don't feel like I'm in the game. I don't feel like I'm really producing fruit. And I think there are seasons in life, right? What do we need to do to get off the bench and to get in the game then if we're not bearing much
fruit? It really starts with being in the Word.
Okay.
Good things happen when you get in the Word. And you begin to see what God's will is for your life. It enlarges your heart for God, because we see what God is like and what He's doing and what He's done for us, and that causes us to want to worship the Lord more, causes us to want to obey Him and to serve Him. So it really comes back to getting into the Word, and then to take that a step further for His Word to be in us and to remain in us and to set up its... It's reign and rule in us that glorifies God and produces God-like qualities in us. Let me put it this way: you become like what you look at. If you spend all day just watching television, that's going to be reflected in your own conversation and the way you conduct yourself, etc. Or if you're looking into the Word, that has a way of producing in us that which we are beholding in the Scripture. So we need to be in the Word and seeing what God is like and what God requires of us.
So are you saying then that, could you say this, and I think it's a question all of us might ask, is the amount of fruit that we produce in some ways directly proportional to the amount of time we spend in the Word?
It's a key factor. I'll say that. Just the fact that you're in the Word does not necessarily engraft it into us. However, that's the first step in the right direction is being in the Word, and for the Word to really have an effect in us. And I would make one point of application. As you read a passage of Scripture, pray through that passage. Mm-hmm. Ask God to replicate this in your life. Mm-hmm. And as you see things in your life that don't match up with this passage, confess that to the Lord. Ask for His grace to forgive you. And also ask for the Lord's grace to enable you to live out what you see here. So that's a very important part of that.
That's great.
So let us glorify God by producing much fruit in our lives this day. Thank you for joining us here at Steadfast Hope. Cannot wait for our next time to be with you.